There were Alfred and Big Dick Dave, the blown glass apple, the pig that smiled, the woman who brought the fruit in the morning and the girl who salvaged the peels at night. There was the writer who didn't write but lay and scoured his feet many days. There were Gunman One and Madonna the Fist and the face lightly sketched that passed between them. Almost everything might have spoken but chose not to. We revolved like an emancipated fresco, filleted dictionaries by the glib light of day. Colossally vague questions crashed through the open air among far chirps and hammerings with unvarying frequency. Almost anything might have varied but chose not to. We learned new holes we thought to make them old. Learning was a technology of aging. Speech was a genre of sleep. Time, like the grey cat, balanced in affected stillness, then leapt toward or away, always a decade or two at a time. If you didn't like one, you could just wait for another. Nothing disturbed our dreaming. Intentions stormed in us, they were the point. We were good hosts when we tried naming rocks, applying clothespins to Peter's nipples when he asked. I asked for nothing, which was my way of wanting it all. Almost everyone was a designer except the devil, who was love. Pigeons raged in cages.
There were Sharifa and disappointed Eunice. Indolence, distance, and the fervors of taste rotating in the sunset's vivisected orphanage. We must make a little space for lovers' kings, the cactus garden seemed to suggest. We laughed and screamed when hoisted over walls. We sobbed in the icy stairwells we collected. Stairwells were a technology of weeping. We had never been ready for anything in our lives, we said, and we sure as hell wouldn't be starting now. Our expectations were studded with terrible presents. Our expectations were like tables to smoke at. Youth was disembarking like a king. He gargled coins. Must we always be gay and having a wretched time? Over and over? In flagrante delicto. Various futures divorced us. Intentions swooned and blistered under us. They carried us out of the house, down the steps, left at the door, right at the sand, right at the sign for haircuts, right at the cat in the box, down to the taxi stand, into the car, out onto the freeway, past the port and its jubilant fisheries, past the newly planted palms, spotlit, past the pink apartment. We liked pink. Out into the green neon that only could work here. And did it? Yes. We thought it did.
There were tremolos at work in the Portuguese defenses. There were pornographic ayahs at lunch. We were policed cruelly by our moods and split one pair of crutches between us. Up and down, by ill crawled the thin light's contradictory rehearsal. Wu and Jean were drunk and poured again. Consider that the obstacle were static. Obstacles were a technology of feeling. Confusion was the one TikTok regime we could afford. There were the Baron and the Prisoner, the water pairs with voices, and always pregnant Joan, who liked to sing with sailors. There was a paragraph, year, and the year of Pierre, and the several voided satellites in nets. The void was a technology of clinging. We sampled cliffs and regularly died. I can't believe you won't fuck me when I'm sitting here right next to you, literally in flames. Grow up. She fell in love with the driver, but he fell in love with Bill. But Bill was selling his house at the time, which he was in love with. We were tired of having ideas about friends. We remembered the beach as having sand, but were mistaken. Nevertheless, dread leapt up to skin us. We took a handful of hexagonal naps, found we were in business.
There were little worlds strung as on a necklace, and the knight kneeled like a leopard. There was a day his hand became familiar, and the knight kneeled like a leopard. There was a kind of love like an ice block of perfume, and the knight kneeled like a leopard. Our friends were gods in the old style, horny, and with a lot of petty concerns, and the knight kneeled like a leopard. There was, of course, the weather, fat with secrets, with which we loaded letters from which we sculpted millions of remarks, and the knight kneeled like a leopard. He left the only copy in the back of the cab, it nearly killed him, and the knight kneeled like a leopard. There were three or four infernal tantrums to pass between us, seated or standing, or flat drunk on our backs, and the knight kneeled like a leopard. One didn't like to go home, and one never liked to leave home or him, so they shared the tall one to have some notion of closeness, and the knight kneeled like a leopard. His body, a crowd descending, his lips, an excess of heat, his eyes, bright gates and patient disrepair, went like a fairy between them, and the knight kneeled like a leopard.
There were names you knew for what was among us. Ennui, tenderness, wretched hesitation, Luke, a paintable dish of brownish limes, mental contaminants born on the breath, grinding machine intimacies, flat beef, for example. Who brought the ice pick he killed him with? Well, how the hell should we know? There were excuses nested in collapsed red genitals. There was being altogether done with ideas. You could tell the lucid agents by their ravenousness for abandoning fiestas. God bless the piggy one we liked, though he kept staying lonely, gathering sands, his body strewn around in bits. Profligate glamorousness. Well, there you have it. Had, and had been having it, in fact, 15 years of procurers. No gigantic applause. We thought the streets should be books, not just more fucking pamphleture. Surely we thought the day approaches when we will not be alone, not encased in little choices, trailing bloody credit off our backs in ribbons, rushed by states away from carbon immunities, hoisting a crumbling tablet onto our necks. There was not as much nudity as you might expect. Our crowns were laced with sharp paternities. Stations of experience hungered for us. We guessed we were a genre of conclusion. We hurried up.
There was an arena in the desert that troubled our dreams because we liked it that way. Because we liked it that way, there was Impossible Paul, seated at table with a dark and dripping kidney. There were hot mental teeth in the form of grand pronouncements. What was traced in his surmise and surgically issued traveller's checks was so traced because we liked it that way. There was risk. A technology of progress first, and only later an ancient, brutal kindling. We were at work on elastic weaponries, incomprehensible water cannons, for instance, to assail the specific English language, and unpoliceable zones, a manic decade where abscesses on the culture to house us. We had that. Syllable by syllable, and in spite of ourselves, we fortified the tendrils of control. If I can be clear, there was no answer. Picture a glittering marble held delicately up on gushing jets of viscous petrodollars. A brief and empty stint in London. A desperate stent. Last ditch in the orifice charade. That our holes were special and contested, that the unspeakable cock at platonic love's core channeled illumination by definition in one direction we knew, the palpitating mesh, meat triangular then primed for freedom's lash. It was why flies and greenish haze trailed us.
There were children swimming in the ocean. They were provoked by growth into love. Beyond his preference for French, there was Mohammed's blue annoyance at the question, it having been posed by sometime sweet Tennessee on the verge of disappearing into rampant fantasies of being eaten. Well, it is good to be of good use. Germain to the epiphany pursuit were the bodies on the beach, called occasional cases of baroque dismemberment, thick sedimentary wines. My death, I simply know, Sheriffa, will be grand, hands stenciled, invitations dropping like notes of a piano from my alabaster fist, my blasted personhood a pestering mist dispersed in that moment in my creditors' ledgers. It is they who shall sustain me. Sustenance was a genre of compromise to which the purest of us never stooped. They died. And in the Soco Chico there was the standing man we fed with breakfast remnants, two green olives and a cheeseless omelette quadrant packed into the chunk of bread he waved briefly back at us when rushed with wild force by the plain-clothes tourism police of the square. And there was what he had said of the food a moment before that, that God had drawn it, and my shame, like a neat stack of coins, God also drew.
Don't treat me like you should. They got ways to make you feel no good. I guess they got no way to know. I've had my eyes wide open from the start. Oh, and girl, you never lied to me. That's the part of
there was the problem of not really being there, and its minister dissolving in wig and kerchief number, under whose thumb, diminuendoing, we squirmed. There was hilariously James, though it was not per se a laughing matter, in the throes despite himself of an eye alone hold the key to this wild parade parody. Though even Eve, half entombed, was getting sick of the scraped sea, its blip of infinity, though even our sensibilities, of which there were two, were degenerated genres of crisis. Nevertheless, a fresh quiver of sodomites arrived by ferry every morning. Departure remained a meaningful machine. Arthur, for example, in agony, was borne forever in a litter toward Marseille. In silence and Jerusalem hounded Alfred, freely decomposed. For Jane, in salubrious bondage, Jane encircled by nuns with Spain to contain her, there were, interchangeably, God and the CIA. The dispatch will report we gesticulated to death, that we wanted ourselves folded, still whispering, into small leather valises. Transmission's hollow operators will have bound us fast to our enticements, I bet. Fine. There was a cool stone cell beside the sky and music to roll through it. Intricate circuits of ablutions were required to approach it.
There was an alarm, accumulating in the margin, resolve flagging in the wings. The green river, like a slender nationalism, rose. Some stayed and took their chances, went recessive, reveled days around the speaking spindle, painting bandages onto framed space. Others decamped. Ground delusion down to piratico-pragmatical pyrite virtue particulate at the bleached millstone. All pastorally hatched and wept. In those fabled years, from the reaches of an open book, smaller, inscrutable books were seen to rise like fresh-born islands, like reams of irascible code, mists amassed and settled, enveloping melons and inflecting the rolling outlines of lovers. When the floor fell out of the city's name, it took like a hawk to the treetops. When the well went dry, we bought another one. The Mediterranean, now pinching freighters and black plumes towards the close, had interred how many thousand Californias? Whose felt deserts looked up from under the exit ferry on which we sipped and supped, aghast.
There was no way around there being no time, if by time was meant this percolated tedium, this radiant bruise left by fruitlessness's sweet grip. And there was no necessity so to have meant it, but for those who had their hooks in you. The plague, by any dry number of names, already had been called toward the land, and Barbara's bodyguards disbanded. The city, believe you me, was dirty, drained, and florid. Though we continued to enjoy the meager armor afforded us there, its tomorrowishness, though we had long accommodated ourselves to its alphabet's pellucid havoc, the scratch itself was opaque and clearly fatal. A scratch. Did you really have to travel so many miles only to see it? Seeing is my heritage. For God's sake, then why did you bring it here? I bring it everywhere. There was nowhere to put it down when I started. The road was lined with monsters who called out to you in friendly tongues just to eat your body up and hold and weep over the head. I was alone and I was afraid. Well, you won't be talking your way out of this one. That's right. Square up and let loose. Back against the wall. A scratch. A scratch. For in the base of this glass, a scratch, I see a new town glimmering. A scratch. A scratch. Awaiting our petty drapery. A scratch. Whose oceans clank and whir.